Hi everyone, and welcome to Central Chat, a podcast looking at the event industry through the eyes of an events venue, brought to you by Manchester Central. In today's episode, we'll be discussing the positive impact that events held here at Manchester Central have on the wider Manchester economy. We'll hear from Emma Orsaluk from the Greater Manchester Combined Authority, who recently worked with us to produce a piece of research around this topic, Nick Richardson from the Insights People, whose story proves how attending just one business event can have a massive impact, and our CEO, Sean Hines, who will talk to us about Manchester Central's role as the city's main events venue. Hi everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Central Chat. Today we're going to be discussing the value that the events we host here at the venue have on Manchester and its wider economy. We've managed to gather a really fantastic group of local minds to join the conversation. Emma, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. So I'm Emma Orsaluk. I'm a lead analyst for business and economy at the Greater Manchester Combined Authority.
I'm Nick Richardson, the founder and CEO of the Insights People, the global leader in kids market intelligence.
And I'm Sean Hines, I'm the chief executive here at Manchester Central.
And I'm Sam, and I'm the digital communications executive here at Manchester Central. So the first question I'll direct toward Emma. Emma, we recently collaborated with you and your team at Greater Manchester Combined Authority to produce a research paper around this topic, so the value of the events that we host and their impact on Manchester. I think a good place to start would be if you could give us a quick overview of the findings for everyone listening and for us around the table today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose just to provide a bit of background on how this piece of research came about. So Sean and his team came to us towards the end of last year with a bit of a request for some help in carrying out an economic impact assessment of the value of the events that they hold here at Manchester Central, but really trying to focus on capturing the true value of events beyond the kind of standard economic impact assessment methodologies that we normally use. So it was a quite a different piece of research for us. So it was looking at using our standard methodologies, capturing the kind of expenditure on delivering events at the venue, but also the expenditure that visitors and exhibitors spend in the wider economy, but then kind of broadening that out a lot further and carrying out qualitative research with key stakeholders across the city, getting their views and their opinions on just how valuable these events are for Greater Manchester, for the city region. So one of the key findings really was that the true economic impact of the events that you hold at the venue is much broader really than you previously
You might want to just elaborate really, because we throw around the word economic impacts as jargon. It's stuff that it runs in the events industry. It's one of the standards that the likes of Visit Britain and all those guys use. But, you know, what is economic impact? What does it mean? It might be worth just talking about, you know, in real simple terms, what economic impact is and the direct effect of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we took into account is all the economic activity that happens at the venue. So expenditure on hosting the events, so license fees that clients will pay to host the spaces here, hospitality provided at the venue, IT services, all the other suppliers that make events happen here. So that obviously has a huge economic impact in terms of supporting local businesses in the area and beyond, and what those visitors are spending both at the venue but also beyond in the city, obviously on accommodation, leisure, shopping while they're here. We know that a lot of visitors will extend their stay as well beyond the event that they're attending.
I think that's really important. I think particularly with our venue and being right in the heart of the city, anyone coming here to the venue is they're going to go through the city, they're going to probably stay in the city, they're going to interact with other vendors in the city. And that's why, you know, that people may look at this venue and say, well, I wonder what happens in there, and oh, there's this conference or there's that conference, but it's the stuff that happens around the edges which is really, really interesting. And the reason that we have and we maintain this venue in the heart of the city is all about that. It's about attracting, well, if for want of a better expression, it's tourism. It just happens to be business tourism in this case, and we'll probably talk about, you know, that typically business tourists will spend a little bit more than leisure tourists because, well, you know, let's be honest, they're on expenses most of the time. So that tends to lead to lunches and dinners and, you know, drinks in the bar and all that kind of stuff. But it's everything from how they get here at the train, you know, arriving by train, or if they come by car or by plane. There's expenditure there that benefits other companies. There's the taxi firm or the transport for Greater Manchester, the tram or the buses they may take if they come here. They're staying somewhere, presumably they're going to pop off to Nero's or Costa, or other coffee shops are available as well, I'm sure. Or they may even buy a coffee inside the venue. But it's that's the bit for me which is really interesting, because every time someone buys a cup of coffee or they buy a sandwich, or they, you know, they're contributing to this local economy, which is helping local businesses, okay, either locally owned businesses or nationally owned businesses, benefit, but also the employees, probably more than likely Greater Manchester based employees, and we've got stats about where our people work, where our people live that work here. It's creating employment, you know, and that's just the first layer of economic impact. Because as your work went on to show, there's then this whole other kind of knock-on effect of the legacy benefit and economic value that we have. So when you walk past the venue and you see, oh, it's like it is today, it's the NHS health and care show, and you think, okay, so it's a medical show, it's an NHS show that's on today.
Yeah.
Actually think about the thousands of people that are going to be coming in to Manchester for the event, but then all of that extra that they're doing. And one thing I didn't mention in my last little bit about business tourism, one of the reasons why it's so important is because there's evidence that suggests that they will come back. So if someone comes to Manchester or a city for the first time because an event brings them there, if they have a good time, they think, actually, that's quite interesting. I didn't realize that that it had this feature or that attraction, and they'll come back with friends or with family, or they may extend their stay as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what really came through really strongly in our research as well, that kind of repeat visit. We carried out some surveys with visitors and exhibitors at the venue to ask them a bit about the reasons for the visit, their experience, also to help us estimate how much they were likely to be spending in the local economy. And we also asked them whether they were planning a return visit to Manchester, and it was absolutely amazing. Something like 98% of visitors and exhibitors said that they were planning a return visit already. So you can really see how impressed they were and what kind of impact that
Well, I think this is one of Manchester's greatest stories at the moment, because you are people that haven't been here or haven't been here for a while. If you ask them what's Manchester like, they've got a view of Manchester from 1975, you know, and it's just so, I don't know, the polar opposite of what's happening now in the city.
Yeah.
And you've only got, as we all did today, we walked through the city to get into the venue this morning on our commute, and you've only got to look around at the development that's going on, the way the skyline is changing. That the city is becoming, you know, a much more modern, much more cosmopolitan city, much more out. I mean, crazy in Manchester with the weather we're renowned for, but a lot more outdoor life, you know, whether it's rooftop bars that are emerging, whether it's outdoor street cafes, all of that kind of stuff. So people come here and they're like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I had this kind of 1975 kind of grey, black and white, Lowry-esque view of what Manchester was like. And then they get here and they realise this is a really cool, vibrant, happening city with a busy economy, with a lot of hotels, with a lot of attractions, and a lot of, you know, and actually adjacent to some of the finest countryside that the UK has got to offer, whether it's the Peak District down that way or it's up to the Lake District that way, North Wales over there. I'm just pointing over there, by the way.
But to me, it's like when you talk about the economic impact, it's like an onion skin. It's like there's so many layers. You know, the first top layer is all those obvious things such as, you know, the fees, the license fees, the food. But as you kind of get to the core, it's about perceptions, and it's about those touch points that you see. And your friends that would come up and they would have maybe a preconception, or they wouldn't even know what to expect when they would come to Manchester. And within minutes, they were, you know, kind of in love with the city in terms of what it had to offer. You have, you know, it's a large city, but it's also very kind of compact.
Yeah.
And the fact that you've got all of these different zones, it's like the Crystal Maze, you've got the Northern Quarter and Ancoats, which has a very different experience to maybe the Spinningfields or Castlefield and Oxford Road, and then you start to go outside and you've got your Altrincham's or your Didsbury's, with lots of different vibes and things which they all offer. And I think that's, since I've come back to the city and friends have come back up, and as we've done more business overseas with other people and they've come to the city, realise about the strength of it. And, a city of our size, to think of another city in the world which has had such an impact on the modern world. The computer from the Industrial Revolution and, graphene more recently. The impact for a city which has, up until the IRA bomb had less than 10,000 people living in 96 to, going into over 500,000 now and a combined, which is getting close to 3 million. I can't think of a city in the world which has had a bigger impact on that. And as you start to tell that story and, places like Museum of Science and Industry, they all contribute to telling that story. And when people are here, it really does change perception and people become excited by it.
For us, as a venue that's really in the heart of the city, and a lot of venues these days, we all go to different conferences, exhibitions and events. I know, Nick, you were chatting about that earlier, just off the air, as it were. But so often these days, as cities are building these facilities, they're building them, either out near the airport, or they're sticking them in, some purpose-built kind of, business park that's away from what the city is all about. And one of the real advantages that we have is that when you come to an event here at Manchester Central, you're combining the two together, because you're in the heart of the city. You walk out the door and you've got the whole of the city on your doorstep. And, your Absolutely. Point about the districts, I bought some of my colleagues in the events industry came up a few months back, and we had an evening out in the city, and we walked through many of those districts, and they were blown away that actually we'd pretty much done end to end Manchester, and you'd seen the transition as you'd gone through the different areas, and that notion of it's big but it's actually small at the same time was just, they were all blown away in exactly the same way.
But I think your point too about it being at the heart of the city centre and other venues might not be as counterintuitive. There's other venues, what we see is a big trend at the moment is about collaboration. It's about people want, different elements of experience. Putting an event location on the edge of a business park or, out in the sticks is not what people want.
No.
People want a collaborative way, and the fact that when we, our first experience as a business with Manchester Central, we had an amazing conference here throughout the day, and then the drinks was at the Museum of Science and Industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that kind of collaborative nature, because you're in the city centre. It doesn't all have to be about, Manchester Central. It's about you guys are the canvas, and you can bring other elements Absolutely. Of the city in as you want to, as opposed to being, 20 miles away near an airport with not really anything else to do. You're really limited there in terms of what you can provide as an experience.
And organisers love it, because the logistics of being able to bring in two or three different spaces to one event over the course of an exhibition or a conference is really simple. You don't have to worry about, well, we've got an hour's bus ride to get out to there, or we've got to do this, that and the other. You can transit around the city pretty easily, pretty quickly. And it's, we have got a wealth of really interesting spaces and venues in and around the city, in addition to the main Manchester Central venue. And our team collaborates, quite extensively with a number of those other spaces when we're bringing, well, actually even before bringing them in at the point of bidding for different events, one of the discussions we'll have is selling Manchester first before you go about the practical matters of how big is our hall, how many seats does our auditorium have, all of these kinds of things. It's more about what is that delegate experience going to be like. How do we say, if we sell Manchester first and then the venue kind of almost fits in around that.
Absolutely, but, agree with that. And I think that kind of leisure offering and the vibrancy of the city is just really important when it comes to especially attracting international conferences into the city and international events, because you want to show that our city is just on a par, if not better than anything else they could see in other places. So it's just what we can offer here, and attracting those international events, which we know have a huge impact for the city, not just in terms of impact on the visitor economy, but also stimulating business activity in the city, stimulating investment into the city, obviously kind of developing academic links between the universities, scientific community, the impact's just well, I think far beyond.
There's been a lot of research in addition to the work that you did for us, but I think JMIC, the Joint Meetings Industry Council, has done some work into this. There's a project called Iceberg, which looks at the value of events overall, and they've done work into it as well. And you're absolutely right. The legacy of events in cities is far more than we talked about earlier, which is the sandwich, the hotel room, the taxi ride. It's the possibility that someone coming to an event may make an investment into the city. You know, events will influence policy decisions. We do a lot of politically driven events here, a lot of economically driven events here. Policy decisions are formed and will come from that. In academia, you know, another one of our strengths is a lot of these academically grounded events, and we're blessed with fantastic universities and a great pool of scientific expertise, academic expertise in the city in loads of different sectors and genres, if you like. But that prompts research. So grants are potentially awarded on the back of discussions that take place here. Education, talking about all of that. Events leading to education leads to stimulation of other ideas, other investments. So it may be what I'm talking about is that the long-term impact of events may take a while to come out to incubate, if you like, is the word I'm looking for. And it could be 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road before you actually see some of the benefits. You mentioned graphene earlier, and it's one of the things we talk about a lot here, but there's inevitably in the future, there's going to be products, businesses, services that are created on the back of that, and all because of discussions and ideas that took place within this venue. And we're fortunate, we've got such a diverse range of different events here, and you can be a resident in Manchester and you'd have no idea what's going on. And it's one of my bugbears, really, I'd like us to be shouting and promoting more when different events are coming to town, because many people probably are not interested and wouldn't care, but I'd like the people of Manchester, the people that work here, the people that live here, the people that visit here, to be interested in what's going on, because there's some really fascinating stuff happening, right in the heart of the city. And people don't necessarily make that connection, that the fact that there's 1,000 international radiologists, in town, with their lanyards on, in the bars, in the restaurants, they don't realise what that is actually doing to, not just right now to the economy, but actually the potential that has. And I think if you look at medical establishments, you look at the Christie, which of course we're famous for, and proton beam therapy, and a lot of that came or comes from the kind of events that we have here, where you have eminent experts congregating, coming together, deciding on either policy frameworks or investment ideas, and then actually making it happen. And for me, it's all connected. The whole thing is connected. So if you take the political, the economic, the academic, the entertainment, all of those different sectors, they're all part of this kind of ecosystem that we're at the heart of, like this big kind of melting pot, really. Mm. And when you see that stuff happening in here, it isn't just about the fact that we've got a conference on and that's that. It's what does it mean for the city? 500,000 visitors come to Manchester just because of stuff that we've got going on here.
Yeah.
And that's not even thinking about what's going on at other venues in and around the city, because we're not the only conference exhibition space within Greater Manchester.
Yeah.
So all of our peer and colleague establishments are bringing their visitors in as well, and that collectively is having a massive impact, which is why as a city we recently relaunched our business tourism strategy, which set our objective to double our growth over the next 5 years, increasing by two, if you like, the rate of growth of business tourism. What we've done in the last 10 years, we're going to do, or we're planning to do in the next 5 years. And that, Nick, is to your point about this trajectory that Manchester is on as a destination that is just really quite different to what I think a lot of people's perceptions are.
I think the city's in a sweet spot for lots of reasons. You've always had the academic institutions here, so you've always had young talent coming out of the city. Whilst house prices have gone up, and there's obviously issues around housing for certain people, but are still relatively affordable for one of the key cities, and especially when you compare it to London. You know, well connected, you can have work, great work-life balance. You know, you get onto a train in half an hour and go north, west, east, and, or south out of the city, and you're in, you know, the point you made before about amazing countryside, or, you know, even on a beach. And that's really unrivaled. And I think Manchester is in a sweet spot that it's, you know, Tony Wilson was always, you know, we do things differently here. And the whole agile economy that we're in at the moment and disruptive. I mean, we've got a business which 2.5 years old, we're so fortunate and proud to have clients like Warner Brothers, Formula One and Disney. Now, a business that's 2.5 years old, 10, 15 years ago, having those types of organisations as clients, I just don't believe it would have happened. But now disruption is almost being celebrated and is being seen as a positive thing in business, because it's not, we don't just do the way that we do things the way that we used to. It's how can we do things better? How can we do things smarter? And I think Manchester as a personality, that is so in its roots, from the music, from the entertainment, from the academics, from just, you know, the way of life that it is. I mean, there was that great interview a few years ago when they asked people in London what the second city was, and they said Manchester, and you asked people in Birmingham what the second city was, and they said Birmingham, and you asked Manchester what the second city was, and they all said it was London. And, you know, it's that kind of bravado and that braveness and that kind of, there's something in the water here which is quite special. And I think with the digital revolution which is going on, this agile, disruptive economy, we're perfectly positioned. And I think, you know, venues like this, bringing people into the city and seeing what we have to offer in terms of the talent, the buildings, the infrastructure, and just, you know, the vibe in the city, which is something which is not tangible, but there is something very special here. You put all of those things together and it is special. It's why you see so many organisations looking to locate over here. You know, in terms of one of the key cities for digital tech, in not just in the UK but in Europe. I mean, when you hear Andy Burnham talk, it's not about Birmingham or Edinburgh as competitors. It's about, we want to be one of the top, you know, 5-10 cities in Europe, and that's where the aspiration should be, because that's where the city's going, and that's what the potential of the city has.
And Emma, you touched on it earlier a little bit, that you spoke to a number of stakeholders in the city to inform your research, and Nick, you were one of those. Was there a general theme amongst those that you spoke to about the kind of key impacts that the events we host have on their businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a general theme of all stakeholders really recognising just how central the role of Manchester Central is for the city, and a lot of stakeholders saw it as a real anchor organisation here for the city, with the value that you just can't really put a number on. So that was definitely a general theme that was recognised throughout. But with the kind of variety of stakeholders that we spoke to as part of the research, ranging from people in local government, people heading up business organisations, representatives from the visitor economy, hotel industry, and so on, colleagues at the university. It was amazing just what a range of people are working collaboratively with Manchester Central, and for everyone that impact was slightly different, which was really amazing to see just how important the venue is, for example, for local businesses in the area, and just how well connected and plugged in you are with the business community here in Greater Manchester.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, Nick, actually, your story is a little bit special. Am I right in saying that in 2017 you came to the Children's Blower Media Summit here at the venue? And was it as a result of that one event that you were then able to grow your company a bit more nationally and globally?
Essentially, I mean, that's the story. But it's funny what Sean was mentioning before, that, you know, all these people in Manchester, you want to get the message out more. I was living a mile and a half away, or probably a mile away from the venue in the Northern Quarter. Wasn't aware that we were Kids Insights. We'd launched our proposition in the UK, that this conference was taking place. And I was at another conference and someone said, oh, do you know that there's the Children's Global Media Summit coming to Manchester? I was like, no, okay. So I managed to get a deal on a fairly last minute stand. And the first person who walked into our stand was a gentleman called Howard Blumenthal, who, as you do in your part-time, founded Nickelodeon and MTV. And the first thing I said to him, and I remember it so well, the conversation, and was that Firstly, I said, you know, welcome to Manchester. It was quite obvious that he was American. I said, you know, I'm not sure if you've been to Manchester before. Welcome to the city. Just wanted to introduce, you know, myself and the business. And we started talking. He said, this is really interesting. I've never seen anything like this before. Let's maybe have a coffee or let's grab some lunch. Yeah. And we then followed that up with lunch the next day. And what became apparent is that what we were doing in the UK, and we'd always hoped that, but really until you start to get feedback, was that this had a global opportunity. And from the back of a number of those meetings, we landed some big clients. So BBC became a client. We landed clients with such as Turner and Warner Brothers. And those conversations then started, and it became essentially at that point, and through Howard, and who's now an advisor to us, we then went over to Miami, and we also met the DTI, who let us know about the funding which is available, which again, as a startup, you're not necessarily aware of these things. We went to Kid Screen in Miami. We did a deal with an investor who's a big partner to us, super awesome, who put some money in and expanded their collaboration from not just the UK to global. And we launched in America, and in our first few months we landed Crayola, Kraft, Leapfrog. Wow. As clients, and people like Mediacom, MilkPep, and so on. And then after launching in America, it's like playing Risk, right? In a few countries, you think, let's carry on. So in March 2019, we launched in France, Germany, Italy, and Spain. We are, I'm not sure when this is going to go, but it could be an exclusive. We are launching in India. So that's really exciting, which will mean we're serving 105,000 children across 3 continents, 7 countries. And then our plans will be to launch in other countries next year. And that all came from, you know, there was obviously other things going on in the business, but that came from being here and that opportunity. And I kind of paraphrase what events are about and what business is about. In this age of social media and technology and all those elements, you can think that it's about those elements. Absolutely. It's not. Yeah. It's about people. And actually, the opportunity to come to an event such as that and meet people and get to understand what's going on in the industry and seeing the trends and sound people out and build relationships with people essentially was the foundation for our continual growth that we have today. And it's exciting times. And, you know, that event being here was so important for us. And the chance of it being here was bizarre. I think they were at Malaysia the year before, Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, so the chance of when we found out about that being on our doorstep in Manchester, it was too good an opportunity, right?
But this is a real life story though. And there's probably other examples of this that happen all of the time with events where you could get, in this case, potentially a chance meeting, which leads to something, which leads to something else. But the principle of what the value of events and why events continue to thrive, I think, is exactly that, because you're looking for a way to cut through a lot of the noise that's now out there, and this bombardment of information and a lot of, you know, quality of information is questionable in a lot of cases, but whilst you can look at the traditional exhibition model and say, okay, well, we need to evolve it needs to be more engaging, it needs to be more dynamic, and you know, the exhibitors need to make sure that they've got some things happening on their spaces or in their spaces or on their stands, or when they come to an event, it's not just a case of just turning up, sitting at their chair, drinking coffee and waiting for someone to come along. You know, you've got to put a bit of effort into it these days to get people's attention. But if you do, then actually the rewards can be incredible, because we're looking to actually reconnect with, you know, real life. You know, as you say, it's about people, but those real life connections, that real life interaction where you can actually have proper conversations, you know, learn a little bit, you know, watch what's happening, you know, read, understand it becomes real quality time, which I get a sense will become increasingly more valuable as digital invasion continues to proliferate. I think people will be taking time such as coming to an event and saying, actually, no, this is a really good use of investment and really good use of my time, because it provides a bit of real life context to all of the other, you know, digital channels. And that's, you know, it's not taking away the value or importance of those channels in what when I was at school we used to call the marketing mix, but I think there's a great future for what we're doing, facilitating, but not in the conventional, and no pun intended, but not in that conventional model. you know, it's to use one of the cliches that's knocking around the industry, you know, the festivalization of events. A series, in some cases, it's a bit like Manchester International Festival or a bit like Edinburgh Fringe. You end up with a series of almost unofficial adjacent and subsidiary activities taking place. And so the value of coming to the city when that event is taking place is enormous, because you can participate in all of these things. And, you know, the smart organisers are really, you know, are really tuning into that, and they're facilitating these kind of city-wide gatherings where, you know, they've got their main event and their main show taking place here in the venue, but they're also connected in some other way to all of these other ancillary adjacent events that are taking place, and ultimately adding to the value of their brand, because they realise that they are the catalyst for why people are here in the first place. You know, and our job is to, I talk about in our company, you know, the great thing about our industry, the events industry, is that every time you do an event, you are always demonstrating the best version of yourself. It's always better than last year. That's the goal of an event. You know, when you do the 2019 conference, it's got to be better, and it's got to build on the 2018 version. And the other thing that you know for sure is that the event you do next year is going to be even better than the one you've just done. And so you're in this constant forward-looking, future-thinking, progressive industry. And that's why, as a venue, it's our job to kind of to facilitate that and to come up with ideas and environments, spaces, you know, facilitation, if you like, of allowing really creative organizers and event owners to come in and create their shows. You know, I talk about this industry as is like show business, and it's kind of a play on the words, because it is. You have to entertain, you have to inform, you have to add value, there has to be a return on investment or return on the investment in time, and you know, all of those things have to add up. But you can't just turn, and this is the example that's happening in the high streets in retail at the moment. You can't just turn up, set up a shop, open the doors, and expect people to come through the door anymore.
It's got to be about, I mean, go back to retail, I think that's a great example. It's about adding value, because anyone can just have a table or a couple of chairs somewhere and have a conversation and meet. Mm-hmm. It's about how do you add value to that? And that's one thing I think going to retail that they've not really realised, that, you know, when you've got manufacturers who can go direct to consumer, the people in the middle have to actually add value to that experience and do something else. And do you know what? There's probably been a lack of innovation and a lack of thought there. But when you come to conferences and events, it is all about innovation. It's all about how can you add that value. And you start to do that and have, I mean, I'll take my example again, that it wasn't just the meeting with Howard or several other meetings. It was a conversation with people like the DTI, who we knew existed. There's probably more ways now to get in touch with the DTI than there ever has been. There's social media, there's webinars, there's emails, there's phone. But all of those are very inaccessible and actually quite either daunting, or you're not quite sure which way to go. Mm. But when they're in a room with you and you can have a conversation about how can you help us, and they say, actually, well, there's a funding pot here and we can help you do this, and do you know that we've got people on the ground in India, US and everything else, actually it becomes real. And that's the added value piece, and that's the kind of the secret sauce which are so important.
Well, I think for me, the key takeaway is to not take events at face value. There's so many kind of, like you said, Nick, that onion metaphor really, of there's so many layers to what goes on and the impact that all those things have on the wider city. But I think, unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today, so we'll have to call it to a close. But thank you to Nick and thank you to Emma for coming in today to talk to us. It's been a really interesting and exciting conversation, and I'm sure we could sit here for the next hour or two and talk about it some more. But and obviously thank you to Sean for coming downstairs from his office to join the conversation as well.
It's a pleasure. Really thanks to our guests for sparing some time this morning, pleasure, as well. So it's good to see you both again, and it's a fascinating conversation. So thank you. And Sam, thank you.
If you would like to find out any more about the work that Emma or Nick do, we've included links to their websites in the notes. You can also find out more information about the value of events research paper mentioned by visiting our website at www.manchestercentral.co.uk. Don't forget, you can also follow us on Twitter or Instagram at MCR_Central.